Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Elizabeth Hess. Retiring General Tommy Franks is confident that weapons of mass destruction will be found in Iraq. Franks was on ABC's Good Morning America.
I think weapons and or evidence of the pursuit of very serious weapons of mass destruction by this regime will be found. I have absolutely no doubt about that.
Franks Deputy Lieutenant General John Abizaid will take over U.S. Central Command. Iran says it has conducted a final test on a medium-range missile capable of reaching its arch foe, Israel. Iran has been testing the surface-to-surface missile for the past few years. Roxana Saberi reports from Tehran.
Iran's foreign ministry spokesman says his country's test of the Shahab-3 missile is nothing new. Iran first tested the missile, which has a range of around 800 miles, in 1998. Hamid Reza Asefi says Iran's recent test of the missile was the final test. He said, it was nothing important. It happened a few weeks ago. It was a delivery test. The missile has the same range as announced before. The Shahab-3 ballistic missile is based on the North Korea Nodong-1 missile. Iran has been working on copying and developing military hardware since it has faced a Western embargo since the 1980s. Roxana Saberi, Tehran.
Johns Hopkins neurosurgeon Dr. Benjamin Carson is among the team of international specialists working to separate Iranian twin sisters joined at the head. The surgery is entering its second day. Dr. Carson, considered to be one of the best neurosurgeons in the field, told a Baltimore television station the surgery is risky, but he believes the twins have a chance of surviving. He says the surgery on adult conjoined twins is risky.
Adults don't have the same type of plasticity as infants do. That means with an infant, the brain can actually change. Neurons can be recruited to do different things. With adults, everything is already committed. So if anything is damaged, you don't really have much chance for recovery.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief. Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue. Without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
Two more American soldiers have been killed in Iraq. Four others were wounded in a fresh series of guerrilla attacks. Two Iraqis also died. Officials blame the latest violence on guerrillas and supporters of former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein. NASA scientists will be conducting more tests today on a replica of a shuttle wing to try and prove the theory that foam insulation caused enough damage to disintegrate the space shuttle Columbia. Similar tests were done last month at a lab in San Antonio, Texas. An Arizona wildfire near Tucson has forced new evacuations. The Aspen Fire moved within a mile of luxury homes yesterday.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
While the United States contemplates sending troops to Liberia to settle any civil unrest, President Bush, along with the United Nations, has demanded that Liberian President Charles Taylor leave the country. Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Richard Myers said President Bush has been clear in his view that Taylor has been destructive to Liberia, and the UN agrees.
He hasn't done Liberia any good. He hasn't been helpful to the surrounding countries, and I think the UN is working right now to have him leave office.
Recent polls show it's nothing but gray skies for sunny California Governor Gray Davis. The recall effort is in full swing with nearly 1 million signatures already collected to oust Davis. Davis told CNN's Late Edition he isn't worried about the recall.
because I've asked to serve the public. I'm going to continue to fight for their future every day. People can say what they want, but at the end of the day, if I have to face the electorate again, I don't fear that. I will make my case, and I believe the results will be the same as they were last November.
I'm Elizabeth Hess, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. A picture's worth a thousand words, so picture this, a toilet bowl. You know what car part is similar to that household favorite? Battery? Gas tank? No, those won't float. But when I come back, I'll tell you what does.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
What's the automotive equivalent of your toilet bowl? Your carburetor. Both have little floats that control levels of liquid. Ever lifted the top of a toilet tank and bent the rod to stop water from flowing? Carburetors have similar float valves that adjust fuel level. In toilets, the excess water streams harmlessly to the sewer. But in carburetors, surplus fuel flows into the motor, causing engine damage, decreased gas mileage, and air pollution. All good reasons to include carburetor checks in your annual inspections. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Good morning, everybody. No, I am not Tom Hartman, filling in for Tom for a couple of days. My name is Rama Schneider, and welcome to the Tom Hartman Show, where we still engage in uncommon sense from the radical middle. And I would say the radical middle being a very apt description of everything here. Radical, why? Well, to steal a line from a movie that came out a couple decades ago, I believe it was called Network. We're mad as hell, and we're just not going to take it anymore. And the middle of the road, what you got to understand, if you consider yourself a liberal or a progressive, and you're following along with pushing for environmental protection, you want honesty and truth in government, you want officials that are open to the people who actually elect them and not just the money who supplies their, their milk and their troughs, you're part of the middle. If you believe in public education, you're part of the middle. If you believe in helping those who are least able to help themselves, you are part of that middle, and that middle is a very, very big middle. And unfortunately, too often, we get told that, we're some sort of wacko this or that if we push for these issues that people depend upon, and that we want to use our government to pursue a progressive policy and to do right by people. One of those things that seems to crop up an awful lot across the country, actually, is housing. And housing is important because there are four things you need literally to stay alive in life. One of them is food. You need water. You need breathable air. And you need shelter. As a human being, we need all four of those literally to live. And one of the problems that has cropped up over the years, as more and more people have been alive on the earth, and we've run into more and more issues with real estate and finding good housing, has been affordable housing. And that's going to be our topic of this first hour. And I want to jump right into our guest because she is on the line. But before we go to the guest here, I just want to read. Folks should be known not so much by who they are, by their name. I mean, who cares if you're some well-known name like a Kennedy or Bush or some unknown name like me, Rama Schneider. But we'd all like to be known by what we do. Those are the things you'll be remembered for, and people in future generations will look back, and they may not remember your name, but they'll look at your deeds and go, That was a great thing they did. So I want to read a little bit here about our guest, Brenda Torpy. Actually, her organization, and this comes from the Northern California Land Trust website, and I deliberately took one that I wasn't given by other people because I think it speaks much more eloquently. And the Northern California Land Trust website writes thusly. One of the largest and most influential CLTs is located in Burlington, Vermont, a university town of about 40,000 on the shore of Lake Champlain. Since the early 80s, economic growth, progressive public policies combined with an attractive setting have made Burlington an increasingly desirable and increasingly expensive place to live. With active support from city government, the Burlington City Land Trust was established in 1984 to produce and preserve permanently affordable housing for local residents. In 16 years, BCLT's holdings have grown to include nearly 500 units of housing. And you got to understand, folks, in Vermont, 500 units of housing is big, including single-family homes, housing cooperatives, condominiums, varied rental options, and in the process, BCLT has had a major impact on conditions in low-income neighborhoods while expanding housing opportunities for low-income people in that neighborhood and in outlying suburban areas as well. And, well, okay, yes, Vermont does have suburbia, although if you're used to larger cities, if you're used to living in suburban New York City, for instance, you'd never recognize it as suburbia. But also, she's been recognized along with the co-founder of BCLT, if I'm not mistaken here, Brenda Torpy. She's been recognized by the Leadership for a Changing World. And on that note, I'd like to welcome on the air, on the Tom Hartman Show, I'm Rama Schneider.
Hi, Rama. How are you?
How are you doing, Brenda?
I'm very well.
All righty.
Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you quite well. I'm getting a bit of an echo, so...
Okay.
If I sound confused, it's because I'm listening to myself, too, which I find very confusing in of itself.
Well, thanks for that lovely intro.
Well, you deserve it. As I said, people should be known by what they do much more so than who they are. And I would thank you for removing the echo there upstream. And I would just like to start off and give you an opportunity to introduce yourself as you want the people to know you. And if you just take about 30 seconds to I call it justifying your existence. In other words, explain to us why we should be listening to you and why we should believe you know what you're talking about. And then we'll get on talk about the land trust and what it is that you've been doing here in Burlington and in Vermont. And then we'll take it out to a national level and see how that melds in with everything across the country.
Well, thanks. Well, I'm Brenda Torpy. I work at the Burlington Community Land Trust in Burlington, Vermont, and we serve northwest Vermont. And I've been doing affordable housing and community development work in the state for about 25 years. And actually 25 years. And I, when I went to work for... our progressive mayor, Bernie Sanders, in Burlington in the early 80s, we worked on starting this community land trust. And I have to tell you, I've worked with probably every federal housing program, or many federal housing programs, and worked on developing others and worked on a lot of projects. But I always felt the best thing we had ever done was establish the Burlington Community Land Trust and to develop that model of community land trust home ownership, because as we get to discuss it this morning, you'll see that it addresses many of the issues and concerns. I heard your opening about how important shelter is to people, but also, you know, how costly it is.
Right.
It's such a basic need, but it's not one that, you know, in today's world, there's sort of this notion in our current kind of dominant government philosophy that things like home ownership should be an individual responsibility, that we're all on our own. And when you look back and think back in all the history of mankind, shelter is something that's always had to be taken on by the whole community at some level, because it's such a major thing.
Right.
It's beyond the abilities of one person, financial or otherwise. And as you know, now we're not tribes or, you know, little clans, we're nation states. And I think there's a very important role for government and housing, and I think that we've sort of been daunted because it seems so costly, and people look at, you know, we should look at wise public expense.
Right.
And I
okay,
think
I want to go again.
Go ahead. I just think the land trust offers that ability to for people to do things on their own, but also to use resources, public resources that we need for this, but use them in a very sound way.
Okay, I want to kind of argue this in reverse. Instead of going from the general, working our way to the specific, I want to start with the specifics.
Good.
And spend a few minutes in Burlington here.
Yeah.
And what was it now? It was 1984, right?
Well, once we filed the incorporation papers, it was 84. The situation was in the early 80s. We elected a socialist mayor, Bernie Sanders, who's now our one congressman, independent in the Congress.
Right.
And our area has, it's a university town, as you heard, and we're in a nice, beautiful location on Lake Champlain.
Absolutely.
And housing costs here were just rising phenomenally. And there was rents were rising phenomenally, and we just didn't really have the housing stock and stuff, the rental housing stock for rent control to be an effective tool. People were just looking at how are we going to get a grip on this cost and how are we going to continue to be able to have homeowners in our city and in our surrounding community.
So let me interrupt here. Who was looking at this at the time? Was this government? Was this private
individuals?
Yeah,
as I said, it was a newly elected progressive government that had been elected from strong grassroots citizen organizations, neighborhood groups, tenant groups, truly with an emphasis on the community side of the city. All the community development emphasis prior to that had been on just your standard sort of downtown business stuff. And we have a beautiful waterfront that at the time was like many, had been industrial and was sort of in need of redevelopment. And the plans on the books then, before this government was elected, was to just put expensive high-rise condos on the waterfront.
If we give rich people a bunch of money, then poor people will somehow
find
a place to
live. Right, and our plan then, once Brian was elected, was to bring community development resources to the neighborhoods to improve things like housing and housing affordability and housing quality. We're in the Northeast, so a lot of our housing stock in the cities is very old and needs a lot of work. And then
also
to have a more people-oriented waterfront plan that would conserve space and have access.
Right. And I want to mention to people, too, now, because there's folks listening all over the country here at this moment. We're on a Sirius satellite, channel 145. We're being broadcast over the Internet on radiopower.org. Other terrestrial radio stations. So there's people all around the country, and some are in the south, some north, east, west. In Vermont, people got to understand, things get really cold. So when you talk about housing, too, you're not just talking about being able to move into a cardboard box, right?
Right.
Well, what are some of the extra needs that come in that you folks found that when you're looking at substandard housing in the Northeast that you ran into issues relating to our climate?
Yeah, the key issue for us, which was one that why we turned to this model, was how do you improve your housing stock in a city? How do you make a neighborhood, a low-income neighborhood, a better place to live without pricing it out of the hands of the people who live there? The standard model in our cities and the market is gentrification. Usually when you see a neighborhood improved, the people who live there can no longer afford to live there.
Right.
And we wanted to be able to improve it and still make it affordable. And that's the way we were looking at it. And the CLT model offers a way to make housing affordable, not just in the present, but in the future, whether it's homeownership or rental, through the covenants and the land trust, the property stays perpetually affordable.
Is this an income type issue, or can somebody like move further out into the country, find cheaper property, a better house at a lower price, or is this a matter of not enough housing around the locations?
There's not enough housing, and you know that issue of, well, people could move further out and get something, then you have to think this is sort of what's contributing to sprawl and a lot of other issues. Think about a single mom or an elderly person. Or it's not practical to think everybody's going to move out and, like you said, build a shack. Vermont has very, and as you should, strong environmental laws. It's expensive and difficult to build. The people who are going out to the country and building are building mansions on 300 acres or 10 acres or 20 acres. You're not
okay,
the
Brenda,
affordable housing.
We have to
there.
Stop and take a break, and then when, if you can hang around when we come back, I'd like to delve into the subject on a little more of a national level. And then if you can hang around for the second half of the hour, we can take some calls from listeners. Is that okay?
Sounds great.
All right, Tom Hartman Show.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, IE America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. And Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world, shut your own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Beat it up and not speak.
Newton,
patriotship. The seven words they just told me I was not allowed to say under any conditions. And, my gosh, I had to write them all down. I'm just so sorely tempted. But, no, I won't do that. Good morning or good afternoon. You're listening to the Tom Hartman program. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom. And welcome to the show where we expose the neoconservative and the right's agenda towards corporatism. And I guess that's a polite way of saying we're just going to expose them, maybe explode them too in a political sense of the word, as they try to kind of dump on us and tell us that, you know, hey, if it's just trickle down, it's fine. You know, they'll get gallons and gallons of whatever it is they want, and, you know, a little bit will trickle down to us, and we should be happy little lapdogs. It's somebody who's not happy to be a little lapdog is Ms. Brenda Torpy, Executive Director of the Burlington Community Land Trust. She's on the phone with us today. And actually, now's a good time, too, if you want to take part in the show to queue up. You can get on the telephone line queue here, dial 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And Brenda, welcome back. And let's take our conversation to a more national level now. Let's take the leap here. Is Vermont unique in the United States, or are problems with affordable housing nationwide?
Problems with affordable housing are nationwide. I think next to health care, this is the looming crisis for America. I'm going to give you a little info here that actually was generated out west just recently, but it's national. 15 million families in the U.S. have critical housing needs. That's from the Center for Housing Policy. That means one in seven American households lives in unsafe or dilapidated conditions and is paying more than half of their income for housing or their home.
More than half.
The lack of affordable housing affects the middle class as well. A growing proportion, now about 60%, of the households that have housing need are people with full-time jobs. There's no city, county, or state in the country where a minimum wage job is adequate to help that working person afford a typical rent on a two-bedroom home. That's across the board. And if you go to the places where there are a lot of jobs, which are the places where people need to be, and there's competition, then housing costs are going to be even higher. In Vermont, people making two workers on the minimum wage can't afford a two-bedroom rent. So we're pricing more and more of our working families out of housing. And in regions like ours, which on the one hand have done well in jobs, and, you know, people can't afford to buy a home anymore, even if they're teachers or have jobs that, you know, in our parents' generation, folks who worked at the store could afford to buy a house. And today those people are struggling to rent an apartment.
Okay,
so
I just want to jump in for a point of clarification real quick.
Sure.
By minimum wage, what wage are we referring to?
I think the minimum wage, it's just the federal minimum wage in this description. We tend to use livable wage here, but...
Right.
So what is that now?
$5.75, isn't it, at the feds?
Yeah.
Vermont just upped it a little bit.
Right.
What is it... We hear about in polls year after year, I've always seen health care up there rated in the top three issues of concern.
Yep.
How come we don't see affordable housing up there with the same consistency? This is something everybody deals with.
I know. I think people have people are housed, as you see, a lot of these conditions. The impact it's had on people and people sort of absorbed it is you're paying more and more of your income to housing. It used to be considered 25% of your income towards housing was a healthy measure, and then we decided, well, even 30% is a healthy measure, and you could certainly get to mortgage that.
Right.
So people have just absorbed. A lot of people are paying 75% of their income to housing.
Okay, Brenda, we got to get out of here for a bottom-of-the-hour break. And if you can stick around, that'd be great. I'd love to have you on the air. Maybe we can take some listener calls and talk about housing across the country. And if not, I want to give you a chance to bow out gracefully during the commercial break.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to say goodbye.
Okay.
I really enjoyed the discussion.
And Tom Hartman Show.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. The Department of Energy plans to build a new facility for the production of plutonium cores for nuclear weapons. But critics charge that the weapons of mass destruction would pose a threat not only to those countries that U.S. missiles are aimed at, but also to the workers who would build the nuclear bombs.
Workers during the Cold War are getting cancers in the 80s and 90s and still dying from cancer.
Dr. Arjun Makhijani is president of the Institute for Energy and Environmental Research. He points to a figure in the facility's draft environmental impact statement, which states there would be 0.22 cancer fatalities per year at peak levels of production.
0.22 cancer fatalities per year means one every 4.5 years. It doesn't mean that after 4.5 years somebody will die. It means that there will have been enough radiation doses that over a long period of time, you know, with cancer latency period, that the cancer may not develop for 10 or 20 years.
Dr. Makhijani says those figures mean 9 workers would die of radiation-induced cancer over the projected 40-year operation of the plant. The Department of Energy will be accepting public comment on the proposal through August 5th.
Thousands of South African asbestos miners, many of whom are now dying because of their exposure in the workplace, were supposed to share in a $35 million settlement from 2 mining companies who didn't provide the workers with proper breathing protection equipment. But now the largest of the 2 asbestos companies is threatening bankruptcy and says it can't pay. In response, a judge has reduced the settlement award by 2/3, meaning that each sick miner will get about $1,600 instead of the $4,600 they'd been promised. More than 700 of them have died since the case began 4 years ago. The next of kin will get those payments instead.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Ooh, yeah. All right, we're jamming.
Jamming.
I want to jam it with you.
Boy, I could let that music go on all day. As a matter of fact, makes me want to go my suitcase up and head on down south to the Bahamas there, huh? I love the old reggae music. Hey, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Show. I'm Rama Schneider sitting in for Mr. Hartman, and real quick, fill you in on some of what's coming up today. In the third hour, we have a mysterious guest, Mr. Mysterio. I know, who is that? I was trying to remember this morning because I was thinking about the mystery guest and Mr. Mysterio, and was he DC or Marvel Comics? For some reason, I keep picturing him with Spider-Man, so maybe he was Marvel Comics. Okay, but I'm a little warped, and that's going way back, way, 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 way back to a childhood from long, long ago. But anyway, coming up in the third hour, a mystery guest you certainly will want to tune in for. In our next hour, we're going to be talking about
issues involving women and prisons and getting some justice and getting some information out about that. We'll be talking to a young lady from the organization Justice Now, and her name is Cynthia Chandler. So that's coming up at the top of next hour. In the meantime, if you'd like to be on the program today, just get up your phone and take your pudgy little finger and dial in 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937 for all of you letterly challenged people out there. And we're talking about the we're talking about affordable housing today, and it's kind of an interesting question. I know I'm looking at the chat room, and anybody wants to go and see what they're talking about it on the chat room right now, you can, if you go to TomHartmanShow.com and click on chat and just basically follow the directions, which is something that took me 3 days to figure out to do. I confess, I am very computer literate. I can program the things, I can build the things, but my gosh, I can't use half the software that's there. I just get lost. Even stuff that I write, I go, my gosh, should I put that in? But anyway, getting back to the issue of affordable housing, which affects all of us. And if you're the well-off or you're the wealthy business owner, especially the small business owner, it's got to put a cramp on how you go about finding people to hire them. Of course, if you're the lower income person trying to find a place to live, and maybe you and your wife are out working and you're trying to find a place to raise your two or three kids, your elderly parents, you know, maybe your father, your mother died and you want to bring the other one of them to come live with you, which is the right and proper thing to do nowadays. And you look around and you go, my gosh, I can't, nobody give me a mortgage. And one of the sillier things I find out about all of that is that you could be out paying rent, which would be more than a mortgage, especially nowadays. I mean, right now, if you go out because they've artificially lowered these interest rates so darn low, I mean, I'm loving it. I'm a homeowner, and my mortgage has gone down considerably, at least the interest on it. But even people who are paying $500-$700 a month in rent, if they went to a bank to try to get a mortgage where they'd be $400 or $500 a year, or I mean a month on a, you know, what, a $60,000-$70,000 home, they would never be able to get that. And the reason being that they look, they go, well, they're low income, they're not dependable, you don't know if their job's going to be there tomorrow. I mean, who knows? Their job may be over in China or South Korea or even North Korea or Russia or Iraq or, you know, take your pick. And people look around, and it sincerely affects the lower income people. And this is an issue that we all have to look around at. I look at that 30% mix as to whether or not you should hit that figure. And that's one that Brenda Torpy was giving us before, where they were looking for affordable housing being defined as 30% of your income. And when you hit that figure, my wife and I combined, we do okay, and I'm not going to give you any exact figures. We certainly don't fall under the rich heading, and we certainly don't fall under the poor. We fall under that wide range, let's call it the, I don't know, $30,000 to $80,000 middle class range we fall into. And I also was my mother lives with us in a mother-in-law's apartment, so to speak, and we have a fairly large family, and we're doing okay. But the quality of the house that we have, it's if you call it a fix-up house, it really takes it to a far degree. So, and all levels, whether it's on the personal level, whether it's as an employer who needs people to live close to you, whether you're the lower income person who's having trouble finding a place where you can live and feel safe and secure and have a place to raise your family, all of these issues come to the forefront when it comes to affordable housing. It's an important issue that I believe has been overlooked. Just to give you, this comes from the Leadership for a Changing World, and this was some pretty interesting information here. Early 21st century urban America suffers from a severe shortage of affordable housing. In 2002, the bipartisan congressionally chartered Millennial Housing Commission, very nice sounding commission, does it do anything? I don't know. Anyway, they reported that homeowners stands at a historic high of 67.8%. Now, that's 67.8% of, what, 280 million? Well, no, I mean, take the adults, so, you know, probably 100 million adults. So, you know, I mean, it comes out to tens of millions of people that do own their homes. But working full-time no longer guarantees access to decent housing. Some 28 million Americans spend more than 30% of their income on housing. And that's just on the housing. That's not including all your other bills. Homeownership for blacks and Hispanics lags 27% behind the national average. And the average yearly income of the lowest paid 20% of Americans is now $10,500, or 4% of all the money earned in the nation. That's the lowest paid 20%. So you can see as you get down towards the bottom, it gets awful hard. I mean, to even to rent. I know I was looking over there at the chat room. Somebody was talking about they had a college degree and felt that they had played by all the rules and still ended up living in a car for a year. Now, I did that as a young, single adult, and that's fine for me. You know, I mean, I hopped on my motorcycle and basically took a easy rider type trip to go find America or myself or whatever the heck I thought I was doing at the time. I'm not too sure. But that was fine for me. And there are homeless people out there who are single and healthy. And, yeah, you can hold them up and say, well, they chose to do that. And this is what happens, too, a lot of times, is you have people that say, well, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, youngster. Look at that guy over there. And he'd point to somebody like me, or the politicians would point to somebody like me and say, you know, look, there's somebody perfectly healthy, and if he wanted to, he could get a job, and he just doesn't want to. That's why he lives on the streets. And you bet. You know, I could have at any time when I was out bopping around the countryside on my motorcycle. If I'd wanted to find a job, I could. But I, needless to say, I had no desire to find a job. But I was young. I was single. I was healthy. I mean, other than my normal day-to-day issues that bounce around in my brain, you know, I probably have my fair share like everybody else does in the world. I was healthy physically, mentally. Emotionally, I'll leave that for another debate because I'm not even totally sure on that one. But what you find out when you get out there and you look around in the streets, and it's amazing to me that this is true, even up here in Vermont where I live, and in the dead of winter, when the day has not hit 0 degrees, the wind's been whipping out of Canada, and we're just being brutalized by cold, cold, windy weather, there are homeless families. You get down to Florida, Texas, California, anywhere in between. You want to go to Iowa, Michigan, Kentucky, Arkansas, it doesn't matter. You can just find homeless families. These are people that have gone out there and have just worked and worked and worked their butts off in order to get themselves something, anything. They want to feed their kids. But, you know, they look around and if you're earning minimum, I mean, imagine $10,500. That's an amazingly small amount of money, and that's with people earning minimum wage. And you know that this is basically what capitalism is pushing us towards. Of course, they want to push down these wages. And I suppose the answer, there are some answers here, and there's bad answers and there's good answers. And this is going to be the difference I'll define between political conservatism, the bad answers, and political progressives, the good answers. And I say that not tongue-in-cheek at all. The bad answers are that, well, we'll just let the system tend to itself. We'll just, you know, we'll let the price, when the prices get so high, people stop buying, supposedly. And then the price will come down and people will be able to afford household or be able to afford their houses and their rent. Well, it doesn't work that way. First of all, we've got an expanding population, so you don't always have to worry about feeding the people that existed before. You've got the new people coming into the market. So you've always got a new possible clientele coming in. Second of all, land is becoming harder to get hold of, not easier. And there's a whole lot of issues as to that. I don't want to try to get into that today, but if you even just look at the things like what they want to do with the inheritance tax, you know, that thing that the Republicans love to call the death tax, like they want to sound like they got some clever idea there, that they know what they're talking about. But the just even losing the inheritance tax, where people from families can pass down whatever they own from one generation to the next generation, you know, just read a little bit of history about feudal Europe, and you'll get some idea of where all that leads to. But we have this whole issue where the housing market is becoming more and more pressed to provide. That means if you build more apartments, you're still going to be able to charge higher rates because there's more people looking for more apartments. And the you know, my hopefully, and this is maybe what the conservatives figure, you know, the businesses, let's say you work for IBM or General Motors or some other place, and the business wants to attract workers to their plant, so they'll put up some housing, workers' housing. That's right, workers' housing. They'll build these long barrack-style buildings, maybe. I don't know. They may even make them look good to make people feel a little bit better. But then you'll move your family into this workers' housing that is paid for by the company, so, of course, they're going to probably deduct that out of your pay, at least some of it. And you'll be living in the on the company's property, and you'll be living in the company's home. And, of course, it's just another thing that they can use to hold over your head if you don't belly up to the boss that, you know, hey, you're not only going to get fired, we're going to kick you out of the housing. And the next step from that is, you know, just go back to the old coal mines in the Appalachian Mountains, where they had the company towns. You know, you had the company store, you had the company housing, everything was company owned. And maybe that's one answer, and maybe that's where we're going to end up. That's a bad answer. A good answer, and this is one of the things, although on a political basis, the people that call themselves progressive, I'm not always in agreement with them, but this is one thing I respect about the progressive political movement. Progressives look for answers and solutions which are going to be fair and equitable to people, not businesses. They're looking to be fair and equitable to people. And this Brenda Torpy with the Burlington Community Land Trust is just one example of this, and there are several other community land trusts around this country, places that are helping to get property, and they use various, I guess, what would you call it, machinations? I don't know if I just made up a word or not, but what the heck if I did. But they use different processes to make sure that this land that the housing stays affordable, too. I know in Burlington Community Land Trust's instance, what they do, when they sell a house to somebody, and they do actually sell the house to somebody, and yes, it's subsidized, and they make sure that the people can afford it. They also, though, with the Burlington Land Trust, the Burlington City Land Trust, they purchase they own the property, the people that live there own the house. So when the people sell the home that they're living in, they will retain some of the profits, and they will be able to be guaranteed a certain amount of profit, you know, to make up for the fact that inflation and people have been paying property taxes on the stuff over the years. But because they own the property, they can also make sure that this, you know, that they have an equal say-so. Some of the profit will go back to the Burlington Community Land Trust, and it will help them to subsidize either more housing or the next time around when they resell that particular house in a lot, they can resell it at either a subsidized or, even if it's not subsidized, at a low price that somebody can actually afford it who's earning lower wages. And I would say anybody at 30 grand and below in the United States today probably bonafidely fine, unless you're single. And now, if you're single, by the way, stop your whining. Just go out and have some fun. But seeing as a lot of people are married, and these are the people that are having a tough time, the really tough time, the married people, the people with the kids, and the people that want to raise their families or have their elderly parents or parent come live with them so that they don't have to end up in a nursing home, you know, being forsaken for the rest of their lives. So it's an important issue, and it's something that we all need to look around and think about. And next time that they poll you, I think people should start putting housing on an equal par with medical care, because it's important. We're talking about with medical care and housing here. We're talking about one of the four basic necessities, literally, to sustain life. And I hear about expenses going up. I have a brother out in Oakland, California. I have a sister out in Nevada. No, if I say Nevada, she'll beat me up, so I won't say that. She's in New Mexico. I have a brother down in the suburbs of New York City. Another brother lives up around me in Montpelier. And it all comes out to the same thing. It all comes out to us all needing to afford a place to live. And some of us have a job where we can. A lot of us have a job where it's very, very troublesome. All right, we're heading off to another break, and we'll be right back to that. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Show with Rama Schneider filling in.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now. Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Molloy
Gary Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor? Right. It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
All right, I'm going to spare everybody. You know, I so much, because when I drive around the car with my CDs cranked up in the in my SUV, there is I sing along, and I'm not going to do that to people. I usually get really menacing stares from the folks going down the interstate, driving beside me. I think they can hear me, and I think even somebody driving the opposite direction one time kind of gave me the thumbs up signal with the middle finger or whatever that means. I'm not sure. I was looking at the chat room. By the way, if you want to head to the chat room, there's a whole ton of people in there right now. And they're having several really nifty little discussions. But you can go to the chat room by going to TomHartmanShow.com and click on the chat button and then follow the directions there. And I'm not even going to try to give you the directions because I am, I just was not able to follow the directions myself. But some poor soul is lamenting the fact that they're just blowing off their poor misspent youth and educating themselves. And, you know, look, we all make our choices. I did not learn how to misspend my youth in all reality until I dropped out of high school for the second time. Then I really had it down pat. And, yeah, by the way, I did end up getting my high school diploma. The Army made me do it, literally made me. They tacked on an extra 2 hours a day to my duty day until I got my diploma. So let me tell you, I got my diploma real fast. I want to leave us, we're coming up towards the top of the hour, so we're almost done on this subject here. But I want to leave people with a thought here, because there's another side to the housing and expenses. I'm just reading, this is a commentary that was in the LA Times a couple days ago, July 3rd. I'm just going to read part of it. Mr. Carlson blames declining business in Glendale strictly on rent, never pointing out that it seems that the non-rent controlled areas such as Burbank and Pasadena have been expanding at a far faster rate. While you look at rent controlled areas such as Eagle Rock or Highland Park, and they're talking about California here, of course, that have abandoned shops, deteriorating housing, etc., there are far more factors that lead to economic downfall than only rent to state otherwise is short-sighted and thoughtless. And I think what they're getting at here, well, he says it in the next paragraph. Some of the larger problems are our city's far more restrictive ordinances and increased bureaucratic burdens on developing viable commercial and residential properties. That does, folks, whether you like it or not, if you think the government has a place in directing it or not, that has a big effect on property prices. I know here in Vermont they like to tell you even what kind of windows you can put in your house in certain cities, and that has an effect. All right, coming up to the top of the hour, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Show. I'm Rama Schneider filling in for him. And we got more coming up in the next hour. We got an exciting show ahead for everybody, so you stay right there.
Real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi,
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Mike Malloy is rational, and you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not take something on that says he's a great goof, liberal?
Goof.
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Elizabeth Hess. The future of North Korea's nuclear weapons program will top the agenda when South Korea's president visits China this week. Celia Hatton has more.
South Korean President No Moo-hyun said few words as he stepped off the airplane to greet officials in Beijing. But he is expected to spend a great deal of time this week speaking to his Chinese counterpart, President Hu Jintao. Analysts believe that No will use his time with Chinese leaders to try to find a breakthrough in resolving a continuing nuclear standoff with North Korea. China successfully hosted an initial round of talks between the U.S. and North Korea in April on the possible dismantling of North Korea's nuclear weapons program. But since then, all sides have been unable to agree on the format for future talks. Celia Hatton, Beijing.
A parliamentary committee concluded today that British Prime Minister Tony Blair and his government didn't mislead the legislative body or fix evidence to justify the war in Iraq. The Foreign Affairs Committee has been investigating charges that officials exaggerated intelligence on Iraqis' weapons of mass destruction to strengthen their case for war. Committee Chairman Donald Anderson says it's important to note the report only finds that Parliament was inadvertently misled.
I wanted to make it crystal clear that there is no blame attaching to the Prime Minister. And there was bad staff work, effectively, which led to his making that statement. It was only February the 3rd to February the 6th before the nature of the sources came to light.
The committee cleared Blair, a top aide, and ministers of the allegations. Iranian twin sisters joined at the head faced a second night of potentially fatal surgery in Singapore. The first stage of the procedure to open up the twins' combined skulls took longer than expected because the bone where their heads were joined was thick. Ongoing violence in Iraq has claimed the lives of two more American soldiers. Officials blame the latest violence on guerrillas and supporters of former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein.
Hey, we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No. I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief. Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue. Without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
Two more American soldiers have been killed in Iraq. Four others were wounded in a fresh series of guerrilla attacks. Two Iraqis also died. Officials blame the latest violence on guerrillas and supporters of former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein. The man who led coalition troops in the war against Iraq is retiring today. General Tommy Franks will be replaced by his right-hand man, Lieutenant General John Abizaid. The Aspen fire in Arizona has forced more evacuations. About 200 homes were evacuated yesterday as flames moved to within 1 mile from some of the luxury homes.
Let's read this one.
My favorite!
You want me to read her bedtime story? You have a bad headache.
Yeah, but I can't let it ruin our story time.
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
The
end.
Good night, big girl.
Good night, big guy.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator 3 Rise of the Machines got off to a good start Wednesday and Thursday and carried the momentum into the critical weekend sweeps. Friday through yesterday alone, it took in over $44 million to easily claim the top box office spot. For the five-day holiday period that began on July 2nd, Terminator 3 raked in a total of $72 million. Starters and reserves were named yesterday for the 2003 All-Star Game at U.S. Cellular Field in Chicago. Included among the American League starters is Yankees catcher Jorge Posada. On the National League roster, Braves backstop Javi Lopez will start at catcher. And on the final day of Wimbledon, Roger Federer of Switzerland won his first Wimbledon championship yesterday. He's only 21 years of age, and he beat Australian Mark Philippoussis in straight sets to take the men's crown. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Think of your favorite child. Now think of your favorite child again in your car. What can you do to ensure that child will live to become a favorite adult? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
How do you protect your most precious cargo? Safety seats, which reduce infant death risk by 69% and toddler by 47%. Infant seats from birth to 1 year should be installed rear-facing in the back seat. These often convert to front-facing for toddlers under 4 years and 40 pounds. Booster seats are suitable for children 4 to 8. But not until a child is over 80 pounds and 8 years old are regular seat belts proper restraints. Whatever their age, when you think of your favorite children, picture them buckled up, then do it. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Well, no, here isn't Tom. Here is actually Rama Schneider sitting in for the ever magnificently intelligent and total brainiac and excellent writer, by the way. If you ever get a chance to read any of his books, you'll see what I mean. But Tom Hartman, I'm sitting in for him. He's off, I'm not going to tell you what he's doing. How's them apples? We're going to start off this hour. We're going to spend this hour talking about a very important subject in a couple of areas here. And one, it involves prisons in the U.S., and two, it involves women. And I just want to start off by reading a little something here from the National Now webpage. The population of women in prison in the United States is growing at a remarkable rate, and the rate of increase of women has grown faster than that of men each year since 1981. At the end of 1988, more than 32,000 women were in state federal prisons. The number has jumped 244% in the past 8 years. And the number of male prisoners has increased only 188%. Well, I wouldn't call that only. It sounds like we're building up a good prison industry here. But according to Amnesty International, 1 out of 3 women in prison or jail is being held for drug offenses rather than for violent crimes, many charged as accessories to crimes committed by men. the minor crimes that carry long prison sentences, otherwise known as mandatory minimums, involve drug conspiracy as a general rule. And on the phone to help elucidate that subject a little bit for us is Cynthia Chandler, and she's a co-founder of the organization Justice Now. It was launched in 2000 with a vision of working with women prisoners in local communities to build a safe, compassionate world without prisons. Justice Now is the only teaching law center in the country solely focused on the needs of women prisoners, and their mission is to end violence against women and to stop their imprisonment. And on that note, I want to say hello to Cynthia Chandler.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, this is great. It's a very important conversation, and I'm glad you could join us. I want to start off, this is going to be a little bit objectionable, the way I'm going to phrase it, but it's a question that rolls off people's lips very easily, and that's, well, you know, these women go out, they break the law, why shouldn't they be spending their time in jail?
Well, there's many answers to that question. First of all, I think I'm glad that you started off by talking about what women are actually in prison for. And I thought maybe I could add a little bit onto the statistics that you gave. The Department of Justice is actually showing that 80% of women in state and federal prison combined are in for crimes of survival, meaning drug offenses or minor property offenses. And really, the increase of imprisonment of women is tied directly in not only with the war on drugs, but what I would call the war on poverty, much more broadly, that mandatory minimums are not only for drug crimes, but also increasingly for property offenses. For example, lots of states are now doing mandatory prison time for a second conviction for petty theft. So that means if you steal a loaf of bread the first time, the second time you steal a loaf of bread to feed your children, you can actually go to prison. So, I mean, one issue is, you know, what are we really doing in terms of who are we actually putting in prison and, you know, how much money are we spending on doing that? So I think we much better could be serving the needs of poor people and people with mental health needs or people with drug addiction if we put the money into social services rather than into prison where they get no assistance whatsoever. So that would be one answer that I would have.
Okay, now that we've gotten started and gotten people's appetites whetted, talk a little bit about Justice Now and why you formed it and what you're doing now.
Yeah. Well, when we co-founded Justice Now, my co-director Cassandra Shaler and I, we really wanted to create an organization that challenged the institutions of prisons and challenged it specifically because we feel that it's one of the most blatant examples of racism and classism within our society. But we wanted
We hear about with men a lot that it tends to be lower income or lower educated males that are ending up in prison. Is this true of the women, too?
Most definitely. 60% of women in prison are women of color. The vast majority are poor people of both races. The average grade completed of education of women in prison is eighth grade. So we're talking about people who are particularly vulnerable within our society because they have very little access to democracy, because they have lack of wealth, they are disenfranchised because of their race, and they also have, you know, very little education to push with. And then they become targeted for systematic surveillance and targeted within our criminal justice system.
Because everybody knows poor black women obviously are going to go out and commit crimes. And I say that facetiously, yes.
Yeah.
I wanted, this kind of begs this chicken-egg question. I mean, are these folks ending up in prison because they have poor education levels that are leading to poverty, that lead them to look for a way out that they shouldn't be? Or are these people ending up in prison because they're being targeted, like you described before? Which seems to be the more driving force, something these folks are doing or something the government's doing?
I would argue that it's something that the government's doing. That, you know, Betty Ford, when she was an addict, she went on to have Betty Ford's clinic, and rich white women can still go there. And poor women of color go into prison for their drug addiction. But I would argue that what we're seeing happening is sort of our shift in our society from what I would call a welfare state to a crime control state, which means that instead of providing any kind of social services around people's needs, we're shifting to responding to social needs and individuals' needs by punishing people. So now there really isn't any place for mentally ill people to go but to be funneled into the criminal justice system. I think you can also think about it. The common retort people say is, why should prisoners complain? At least they have a roof over their head and three square meals. But to
NPD.
Me, it normalizes this idea that we should be using prisons as a solution to homelessness, or we should be using prisons as a solution to hunger.
Well, it seems to me it's a good way to get people off the street. We can put them to work in the prison industry, working for, you'd think minimum wages is subpar. These wages that they don't receive in prison are even worse. Okay, getting back to Justice Now, what is it that you folks do now?
We provide direct legal services to women in prison, primarily around responding to human rights abuses. So we do work around healthcare access, helping people defend their parental rights and maintain contact with their communities and their children, and also helping them reduce their sentences. And in particular, we help terminally ill prisoners get out of prison before they die so they can reunite with their families. But we also do broader campaign work alongside women in prison and get them involved in that campaign work. And that broader public education campaign work is geared towards really challenging the reliance on prisons and policing in our society and creating alternative forms of accountability.
Yeah, I just want to say at this point, there are certain topics in society that fall under the heading of, and I guess some people, I'm going to say, excuse my terminology here, but it falls under the heading of, what the hell are we doing? And this whole issue around prisons and what we're throwing people in jail for, men and women, and in this case specifically women at this moment, because I'm talking to you, but it falls under that heading. Just what the hell are we doing? I mean, it's costing us a lot more money. We're subsidizing businesses. We're taking away people's families. We're taking parents away from their kids. I mean, it's all destructive. And when you look at what so much of it, we're not dealing. We're, minority is your murderers and your armed bank robbers. Correct.
Correct. The vast minority. That's why we sort of come back to seeing the prison industrial complex or the prison system as a form of neo-slavery, where what we're really doing is putting people of color into these institutions, which are sort of the modern-day American plantation, where they're working for slave wages. They're working basically for free, maybe 10 cents an hour, for the benefit of private companies, not for the benefit of our society or our communities. This is an enormous drain on resources for our communities. People are taken out of their communities. They can't give back to them in any way. And instead, they're really working to bolster the pockets of companies like Victoria's Secret, TWA, Microsoft, and the list just goes on and on of who's using prison labor now.
Do you have a website you want to give out or contact information?
Yeah, we do. Our website is www.jnow.org. That's JNOW.org. And we have information up about the realities of who's in prison and the effects on communities of color of prisons. And additionally, our website has a section which we call our Voices section, which is a place where people can go online and actually voice their opinion of ways that we could create safety and create a community accountability that wouldn't rely on prisons, and to try to get people to start thinking outside of the box and to try to think of ways that we could have people give back to their communities and strengthen their communities when they do something that's harmful rather than rip communities apart.
Okay, let's pretend this is one of those sampler box of chocolates. Let me eat on a couple of those. What are some of these ideas you got?
Okay. There's a variety of different kinds of ideas, and again, these are all still just developing. But, for example, someone could, if they committed a property offense, they could actually work to help, fix what they broke or to replace what they took. Additionally, people could be asked to come together as a community and actually figure out something that would help people feel whole again or feel satisfied. So if someone was harmed, they would be part of the process of working with people in their community to try to figure out, you know, what that person would be asked to do. And there could be times when the individual is asked to leave or where they would be isolated. But I would argue that in those cases, the institution that they would be placed in or where they would be put would be very different than the current prison system, where people are really just warehoused and not given any kind of assistance to try to reform or address whatever issue resulted in their behavior.
Well, they got TV. I don't know what else they want. You can't get around when you talk about prisons in the United States nowadays is the what we call the drug war comes mm-hmm. into play. How much, you know, these women are going to prison. Are they going to prison because they're selling drugs or they're using drugs, or are they going to prison because husbands and boyfriends are doing this and they're kind of caught up?
A lot of women are in prison related to their own personal drug use, not nearly as many related to drug dealing.
Okay, we need to take a quick break here, and then we'll be coming back. I hope you'll stay with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, great. You're listening to Tom Hartman Show.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Joe is regretful.
Man, am I regretful!
The problem is Joe just bought a used car.
Why did I do it? Why?
And Joe didn't use Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. And now he might have made a $10,000 mistake.
Here's the wound! Here's the salt! Mix it up!
Sorry, Joe. Next time, go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax report and get the truth about used cars.
Yeah, Carfax. Heard you the first time.
Carfax, Carfax, Carfax.
Come on.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now. Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Sherwood Baylert is a member of Congress and, despite that, not a bad guy. He's a New York Republican who's been in the House for more than 20 years, and he loves the place. Fine. It's said that some people who muck manure for a living come to love the smell, so everyone to their own taste. But I thought Sherwood had been sniffing the congressional perfumes a bit too deeply when he recently declared that the House is, quote, the one institution in the whole wide world that's the personification of this great democracy of ours. Democracy? The great majority of Americans are factory workers, clerks, cab drivers, dirt farmers, teachers, Main Street merchants, programmers, waitresses, health care workers, and the like. How many of them serve in Congress, or are even marginally represented by those who serve there? About 70% of Americans make less than $50,000 a year. How many of our Congress critters go to Washington from such an income perspective? Indeed, the U.S. Public Interest Research Group reports that nearly half of the newly elected members of Congress are millionaires, which 99.5% of Americans are not. And if the House is so representative of our people, why didn't we get a pay raise 4 of the last 5 years as they gave themselves? Why don't we have top-flight health coverage paid for by taxpayers as they do? Why don't we get golden no-worry pensions as they do? Phil Graham is one example of congressional apartness from the rest of America. The Texas senator, who just retired, opposed any government program to help regular folks while he slavishly served the corporate powers that financed his elections. He became a millionaire while in office. And now that he's out, we the people will send him a retirement check of $78,534 every year. He'll get more doing nothing than 80% of us will make working day in and day out. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's the personification of plutocracy, not of democracy.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Hartman Show. I'm Rama Schneider, filling in for the big Mr. Hartman for a couple of days anyway. And no, I'm not going to squeal on him and tell you where he is at. We are speaking to you on IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from New Mexico to Alabama, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite covering North and Central America from Alaska to the equator and streaming audio on the internet with listeners from Europe to Asia. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. And by the way, on the internet, radiopower.org is the place to go. And a roaring, a ripping chat room conversation going on especially this topic of prison, women in prison. And I notice also a lot of people seem to be talking about, you know, hey, it seems like every listener I have out there today is going to jail for drugs. What's wrong with you people? Huh? All right. Anyway, if you want to go to the chat room and find out what all these drug addicts are talking about, you go to TomHartmanShow.com and click on chat. And, you know, for those who take me too seriously, I want to apologize. On the phone with us, we have Cynthia Chandler. She's one of the co-founders of an organization called Justice Now. They are interested in justice for women in prison. Is that an accurate one? Quick little description?
Yes.
Great. I want to... Well, no, actually, before I do, this is as good a time as any. If anybody has any questions for our guest, to queue up on the radio there, 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And I'm looking at an article from the Los Angeles Times, July 25th, 2002, actually. But it caught my eye when I was kind of doing a search around on this subject, where they're talking about proposed changes to the state prisons in California that would restrict things like lawyers' visits, access to legal assistance, access to families and all. Is that a big issue you find across the country?
It is an increasingly big issue that and this gets back again to the disenfranchisement of people of color and poor people of all races who get pulled into the prison system, that once they're in, they tend to be increasingly isolated, with prisons located in more and more rural areas. But then, and then they have their right to vote taken away more and more often in most states,
right,
for longer periods of time. And then they're more and more isolated by both state and federal laws that are trying to limit both families' access to visiting prisoners, and then also any kind of watchdog groups, including legal organizations. And in California, the press has even been banned from accessing prisoners. The only way that media is now allowed into California prisons is to have the invitation of the prison warden, and they'll only be able to interview the prisoner that the warden asks them to
And it seems to me that all came about because they were reporting on the men's prison where the guards were shooting prisoners for sport, wasn't it?
That's right. I mean, that was in Corcoran in California,
yeah.
And basically there's a whistleblower came forward to say that guards were setting up basically chicken fights between different prisoners and then shooting them, actually,
yeah,
as the fight was ending. And after that, you know, obviously the California Department of Corrections got a lot of bad press.
Yeah.
And then came more and more laws to restrict access. And what's basically happening is that we have these incredibly, I would say, violent institutions that,
yep,
exist in our communities that we have very little access to.
And we have people put totally at their mercy, cannot get away, cannot communicate with the outside world without their permission, and they can be brutalized, taken advantage of, they're raped or whatever, basically without any accountability, because they can even say, well, keep the press away. We don't want them reporting on what's going on.
Right. And I think that gets back to the sort of hard question that we get in doing this work often about, you know, why shouldn't people be in prison? And what we would say, and frequently do say, is that, you know, if prisons are supposed to be there to reduce violence and to stop
right.
violence and be a response to violence, but in fact, violence doesn't end. We just have incredible levels of state violence once people reach prison through brutality, sexual abuse, fragmentation
right.
of families.
Okay, Cynthia, we're up against a hard break. Are you going to be able to stay through the break and come back for the rest of the hour, or do you need to get out of here?
Oh, sure, I would. That'd be great.
All right, thank you, and we'll talk to you in a few more minutes. You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find AMIBA online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Africa's apes are being driven to extinction. They're being killed and eaten by people. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Populations of African chimpanzees, gorillas, and bonobos are rapidly dwindling in number, and the main reason is likely to surprise you. They're being hunted down for human consumption.
I think it's actually a scandal that people are not more informed about what I consider Africa's greatest conservation crisis. The conservation media has just failed to pick it up, just too disturbing to publish it.
That's Dale Peterson, author of a new book called Eating Apes. Peterson says people are killing apes to supply bushmeat to the black market. He says hunters gain access to once remote forests on newly cut logging roads.
If there are villains in the story, it's really the loggers. These are ancient forests, and they're just cutting roads right into them and opening them up to the hunters.
Peterson says hunting apes is illegal in Africa, but laws are ignored and enforcement is difficult. He says the world needs to wake up to this crisis, which could wipe out chimpanzees, our closest relatives in the animal world. Peterson says even some hunters admit that chimps display human-like behavior.
If you corner a chimpanzee, he'll start begging for his life, just like a person, you know. He'll have this expression of fear, and he'll face you and hold out his hand in a begging gesture. And I just think, you know, an animal that will beg for his life deserves to have his life.
That kind of anecdote is disturbing, and the photographs in Eating Apes are hard to look at. But Peterson hopes his book helps alert people to the fact that humans are literally consuming Africa's great apes. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
the best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Show. I am Rama Schneider.
And on prisons and instead, you know, hurting our future
right.
folks. I mean, that's one thing. Additionally, you can let your local legislators know that you don't support the construction of new prisons, because what history has shown is that whenever a new prison is built, it's immediately filled. And it always happens that the new prison is overpopulated within 1 to 2 years. So we'd ask that everyone support prohibitions on prison building as well. But I think more broadly, there's a problem that we've become so firmly entrenched on using prisons as a solution to all different kinds of social problems in our country that we've sort of lost sight of the fact that prisons are a fairly new institution. They've only been around for about 150 years. Yep. And that the world did exist before them.
Before prisons? What was there?
There's been a wide range of things. I mean, obviously, there were some really atrocious forms of corporal punishment that we're not arguing to go back towards. And, in fact, prisons were supposed to be a reform away from corporal punishment. But there are, if you look at indigenous populations, there were and have been and continue to be models of justice that don't rely on prisons, which really rely instead on building communities and strengthening communities so that communities can make decisions together about what would help their communities rather than take folks away from them and take resources away from them.
Is there any hard evidence that this sort of, I'm going to get a little argumentative here.
That's fine.
Is there any evidence that this feel-good, touchy, ultra-left-wing, liberal, let's be nice to everybody, is there any evidence this works?
Well, first, I would counter your assumption that it's a touchy-feely, everything feels nice thing. I think that if we talk about real accountability, that, you know, people who are held accountable don't usually like being held accountable for things. And so we're not talking about doing nothing and just placating someone who's harmed someone, but instead finding ways that they can really be asked to give back to their communities. And so I would argue that that doesn't inherently mean some sort of touchy-feely response.
Okay.
But instead one that really helps people. And I would argue now in our current justice system that people who are victimized don't frequently feel that they have been responded to well within our criminal justice system and don't feel like they have received anything that makes them feel at all whole again or responded to and where the person has been held accountable.
Right. Well, I guess then, first of all, if we go to the government, let's face it, they have so much invested in being tough on crime, and they don't really care what they define as a crime. If they define me letting my daughter's hair grow as a crime, they'd be just as happy to throw me in jail as they would somebody stealing a car. And I honestly feel that way. It's a little bit polemic, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So going below our, I guess anything radical or revolutionary that we can do, local government.
I think there are some very radical and revolutionary things that can be done, but I'm not sure I can push for them on the radio show. But, I mean, one thing that can be done is to really target actions against the companies that are making money off of prisons and that are pushing the government towards prisons. And one really interesting idea that's come out of New York with the Prison Moratorium Project is the idea of right-to-know legislation, that any product that's produced by prison slave labor in the United States should have to be labeled as such, so, and then boycotts could be organized against those products and those companies. And yeah. I think that that's a really interesting idea, to really target and identify the corporations as being the force behind the mass imprisonment of people in our country.
You must have one heck of a time getting positive press coverage on your endeavor here.
Yes. Increasingly, though, that has actually really changed. I think that what's happened is people are finally getting fed up. They're getting, you know, there are financial crises in all levels of the government right now throughout the country, and people, including reporters, are getting fed up with their resources going into prisons when again, you know, victims of crime don't seem to be particularly happy. The prisons themselves don't seem to be stopping prisons, and people are just being subjected to more and more violence and becoming more violent themselves. And, you know, there's incredible drains on our education systems and other systems. And so actually recently in the past, I'd say 2 years, the tide is sort of shifting. And there is increasingly positive press towards ideas of reforming our justice system.
So let me get a little personal here in the question just to find out where you're coming from. Have you ever done time in prison yourself?
No, I have not.
How did you get involved with this whole topic then?
I joke frequently that and say that it's a calling, but it's not exactly correct. I've done a lot of work actually in the victims' rights arena, and done a lot of work with rape crisis centers and supporting survivors of sexual abuse. And through that work, I started doing work with men who are in prison for rape, and doing counseling services for men in prison who were both in prison for rape and then raped once they were in prison. And I started really reevaluating what value, if any, our criminal justice system was providing. And additionally, I also did a lot of work in the sex worker rights community and also in the HIV activist community, and was very alarmed by the ways in which people are made more vulnerable to police enforcement, and then also, frankly, to disease based on their poverty and racial ethnic identity and their sex. So anyway, all these things sort of come together when you're working with women in prison. And women in prison, statistics say 80%, I would argue even more, are survivors of violent crime, and yet that usually went completely unacknowledged by our society. And then they're doing incredibly long sentences for nonviolent crimes. And they're a really unique population for looking at what the effects of are of both interpersonal violence and also state violence. It struck me that that was a group of people to help get their ideas out in the world, and that that would be one of the most powerful ways to challenge the craziness that's going on with our criminal justice system.
Well, good for you. We're talking to Cynthia Chandler. She's a co-founder of the organization Justice Now. And if you have a question or comment for our guest, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And we have Woody from Beaumont, Texas, on the line. Hello, Woody.
Hi. Hey, Cynthia. I'm a hardcore right-wing conservative Republican.
Wow. Is your radio on, Woody? Woody? On a flying saucer. Are you still there, Woody? I think we're having phone problems here. Woody, if you, I appreciate the call, Woody. If you can try calling back in, we can hopefully get you up to the top of the queue here and let you give your guest. Apparently, we had some issues. A lot of time, folks, if you call in, that feedback means that you had your radio on, and when you talk to the radio station with your phone while your radio's on, that's what happens. So, back to Cynthia now. I was curious. I don't know what his question was. It's as far as right wing. But you were talking about before there was a time when we didn't have these prisons. Now, are you referring to prisons and jails or just prisons then?
I'm actually referring to prisons and jails. I mean, there were frequently there were sort of jail-like things that were sort of holding facilities that were used while people waited for their communities to figure out what to do with them. But they weren't systems or institutions like that, like jails and prisons are today, where the detainment of people and the separation of them from their communities and families is the punishment in and of itself.
Okay, I think we got Woody from Beaumont, Texas back, and welcome back, Woody. Hello.
Hey, Cynthia, you know, I'm a hardcore...
Still there.
Is he there?
Is anybody still here? All right.
I'm here.
okay, Cynthia's still here. I think we lost Woody again. I'm not sure what the issue is, and I deeply apologize, Woody, but I guess we're not going to try to get the screaming feedback again. There's obviously something going on, either spaceships, federal government interference or something. And you were talking about men being raped in prison. And getting back to your topic of women and their rights and looking for justice for women, what is some of the abuse that the women suffer? I know rape is one of these, especially it's even, I guess, a problem with the guards that are watching them.
It's actually very specifically a problem with the guards. Women suffer sexual abuse at the hands of guards. Sometimes it's very clearly a case of rape. Other times it's guards who threaten women with disciplinary actions or ways in which they could stretch out the woman's time and make her do more prison time if they don't have sex with a guard. Things like that are very regular occurrence in women's prisons. Additionally, almost all women in prison will report very serious forms of medical neglect. And I don't mean just not access to good medical care or some of the problems that folks in the outside free world are facing. I mean extreme forms of medical neglect that really are tantamount to torture. And I can give you an example. One of my clients was diagnosed with bone cancer, and they refused to give her any form of treatment or pain management until the cancer had eaten away both of her hips and there was absolutely no hip bone left. So she went through that incredible pain with her cancer without access to any kind of pain medication. She was in so much pain that she was shaking and sweating and was unable to speak for weeks at a time.
That's torture under any definition of the word, and somebody like that needs to be hauled up in front of a court themselves.
And we also, regularly every year we talk to at least 5 to 10 women who have had some form of surgery performed on them, which they don't even know what it was. They would be taken into the hospital and kept being told by people during the process that the next person would tell them what was being done, and then finally they would be given drugs, they'd fall asleep and wake up in the morning and not know what surgery was performed.
No.
Some of those women we've had to tell them after we've gotten medical records that they've been given hysterectomies. Other people have had their gallbladders removed and fairly invasive surgeries without any knowledge of what those surgeries were or why they were given to them. That's a fairly common occurrence as well.
We can cut them open. We can make them work, deprive them of adequate food, let them sleep in barely warm enough cells with barely enough covers. And we can do all this because they're criminals, right?
Yeah, exactly. And and then on top of it, you also have the whole issue of the real mental anguish that's caused when families are ripped apart through the prison system. And something that happens to women that does not usually happen to men is that 80% of women in prison are mothers, and the majority of them are the primary care provider before they go to prison. So when they go to prison, their children are usually left without anyone to care with them. And this,
right.
Most states in the country have very aggressive laws where they work to terminate the woman's parental rights permanently when she's in prison. And so women, unlike men, very frequently face losing their children forever because of their imprisonment, which is sort of an additional punishment that men don't usually face.
And, of course, they don't want to let them visit them. I want to ask you a favor here. Can you hang around? We're going to be coming up to another break in about a minute here. I have a caller on the line that does have a question for you.
Okay, that's fine.
And I don't want to try to do it now because we're coming real close to the break. So this will give you a few minutes to respond to whatever concerns the caller raises. But, I find it amazing being, from time to time, a foster parent myself. I mean, this is a reason these kids are just taken away from their parents because, a lot of times, like you say, their mother never did anything wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, we're coming up to the break. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Cynthia Chandler. She's one of the co-founders for Justice Now. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Show, and we will be right back.
To create create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Dude,
and
there's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh.
Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Animal?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, Bartkop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who have more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't
he? Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
No Okay, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Show. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for the ever-intelligent Mr. Hartman. And this is where democracy is still alive and well. We've got on the phone with us Cynthia Chandler, one of the co-founders of the organization Justice Now, with a vision of working with women prisoners and local communities to build a safe, compassionate world without prisons. And we have a caller on the line. Hello, Pat.
Yeah, hi there.
And how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. A long wait there. But one question I had for Ms. Chandler is, does she have any idea what percentage of the women in prison for drug offenses are there purely on marijuana charges?
You know,
Hello? Oh, okay.
Hi, this is Cynthia. I think I got the full question. No, I actually don't have the statistics on who is there only in prison only on marijuana charges. And I have to be honest that one of the reasons I don't have those statistics is that I feel like there's already an enormous amount of work being done to try to legalized marijuana, which I totally support and I think is extremely important. But I also don't want to limit our work to only focus on those people convicted of being involved with marijuana and setting up sort of a dichotomy between those who are in on other crimes or different drugs than versus the ones in on marijuana.
And just for the caller, I would suggest like www.november.org, I believe is one, or go to mpp.org, and you usually can find the information there.
The Drug Policy Alliance also has a website which has a lot of information on that, I believe.
Do you know what their website is?
I think it's drugpolicy.org.
That's too simple. That's one nice thing the internet did. You know, it used to be with phone numbers. You had to remember all these different numbers. Now you can type out www.thisiswhatiwanttodo.com.
Exactly.
And, and you do have a website, jnow.org, correct?
Yes, I do.
jnow.org. And is there any other, you have about 20 seconds here to give any other contact.
Just want to encourage people to log on to our website, find out what things you can get involved in, and see different statistics involving people in prison and women in prison. And we would love to hear from you. You can email us, and we would love your support for Justice Now.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Cynthia. And that's the Tom Hartman Show. We'll be back.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Elizabeth Hess. Speaking at a Head Start facility in Landover, Maryland, President Bush suggested that Head Start can be even better with an accountability system.
Now look, Head Start is a great opportunity. We got this is an opportunity that we better not miss. We cannot let our children down.
Congress is working on legislation to reauthorize the federal program. John Hopkins neurosurgeon Dr. Benjamin Carson is among the team of international specialists working to separate Iranian twin sisters joined at the head. The surgery is entering its second day. Dr. Carson, considered to be one of the best neurosurgeons in the field, told a Baltimore television station the surgery is risky, but he believes the twins have a chance of surviving. He's asking everyone to pray for them.
We have a highly experienced team and significant technology, means that I think there is a chance of success.
Doctors say the 29-year-old twins were stable and the operation is going well. Iran says it has conducted a final test on a medium-range missile capable of reaching its arch-foe Israel. Iran has been testing the surface-to-surface missile for the past 2 years. Roxana Saberi reports from Tehran.
Iran's foreign ministry spokesman says his country's test of the Shahab-3 missile is nothing new. Iran first tested the missile, which has a range of around 800 miles, in 1998. Hamid Reza Asefi says Iran's recent test of the missile was the final test. He said, it was nothing important. It happened a few weeks ago. It was a delivery test. The missile has the same range as announced before. The Shahab-3 ballistic missile is based on the North Korea Nodong-1 missile. Iran has been working on copying and developing military hardware since it has faced a Western embargo since the 1980s. Roxana Saberi, Tehran.
Los Angeles Lakers star Kobe Bryant was arrested Friday in Colorado and charged with felony sexual assault. Lakers general manager Mitch Kupchak said he and the entire Lakers organization are behind Bryant.
Hey, we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief. Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue. Without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
President Bush leaves today for a five-day trip to Africa. The first stop will be Senegal, a Muslim country that is a democracy and whose president is a Bush ally. The president will also visit South Africa, Botswana, Uganda, Nigeria, but it's Liberia that will most be on his mind. Bush may send U.S. troops there to maintain order amidst the unrest surrounding its troubled president, Charles Taylor. A U.S. soldier was killed in Iraq early today when a rocket-propelled grenade hit his vehicle. This weekend also brought deadly attacks on American troops, with at least three soldiers killed in sporadic attacks.
When the gas light comes on in your car, do you tap it to try to turn it off? When you get a flat tire, do you drive around hoping it will reinflate? No. But right now, you could be ignoring a battery problem, which is why there's DieHard Express, only at Sears Auto Center. DieHard Express is more than a battery service. It's a complete checkup for your car's electrical system. Our experts will look for common problems, and if it's the battery, we'll install a new DieHard, America's most preferred battery.
DieHard Express. Sears. Good life, great price. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Nearly 30 passengers aboard a Charlotte-bound U.S. Airways flight were temporarily grounded last night at Pittsburgh International after they came down with flu-like symptoms. Jim Loke has more.
Flight 150 was making its scheduled connection and was carrying about 150 passengers when it touched down around 9 o'clock last night. The sick passengers were taken off the plane and treated on an airport bus for diarrhea and nausea. The ill passengers were able to catch another flight back to Charlotte. Some of the passengers were returning from missionary work at a Navajo reservation for likely sickened before the flight. I'm Jim Loke.
Recent polls show bad news for California's Governor Gray Davis. The recall effort is in full swing with nearly 1 million signatures already collected to oust Davis. Davis told CNN's Late Edition he isn't worried about the recall.
Because I've asked to serve the public, I'm going to continue to fight for their future every day. People can say what they want, but at the end of the day, if I have to face the electorate again, I don't fear that. I will make my case, and I believe the results will be the same as they were last November.
I'm Elizabeth Hess, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Oxymorons. You know, the things that just don't seem to go together. Like jumbo shrimp or deafening silence. How about new car and service manager? You'll be surprised. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
If thinking of the service manager while inking your new car deal seems like an oxymoron, think again. Though today's cars are certainly more roadworthy than their predecessors, they can still break. In fact, the experts at the L.A. Auto Show report that automotive repair is a $200 billion business, and one of every three cars serviced returns for additional work. So ask your new car salesperson for an introduction to the service manager. It's a small investment with a big payoff at repair time and for maintenance checks. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Not really. Filling in for Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Show is me, Rama Schneider, and speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from New Mexico to Alabama, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite covering North and Central America from Alaska to the equator, and streaming audio on the internet at radiopower.org from Europe to Asia. This is the Tom Hartman Show. And I'm happy to say I'm here helping you win the water cooler wars. And there's another gentleman who has spent an awful lot of time helping you fight those battles with those wacko right co-workers you have. And his name is something like Tom Hartman, if I remember correctly. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Rama. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you? By the way, they bounced me out of the chat room, and I can't get back in. Other than that, I'm doing fine. I'm rather insulted by that, but the rest of it's going peachy keen.
Okay. Whoever bounced you, there's a couple of people in there who have sysop privileges, and they're going to have to figure out how to unbounce you. So.
I don't blame them. Somebody figured out how to get in there, use my name, and they were being rather crude, so they got bounced, and in the process of bouncing Rama the evil, they bounced Rama the good.
Okay.
So enough of my problems.
Yeah. That's all
right. Where are you?
It'll run just fine without you. I've been listening to the show here, and you're doing a great job. I wanted to thank you for sitting in for me and say hi to our regular listeners. And I think it's okay to let people know. Yesterday, our oldest child, who will be 50 in December, just got married. And
all right.
So her husband's family has a home here, or a condo or whatever, in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And so they had the wedding here. And so that's where I am right now, sitting about 300 yards from the, I guess it's the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, that's too bad, huh?
At the Marriott in Puerto Vallarta, and it's wonderful. I'll be back Wednesday, and I'll be back on the air on Thursday. And I've been trying to find out what folks in Mexico think about the United States. It's really interesting how many people, first of all, don't want to talk to me about it because they're afraid to offend the turistas and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I spoke today with one of the officials of the Chamber of Commerce, and I have a tentative meeting for hopefully for later today or tomorrow morning with kind of the equivalent of the mayor here. We'll see what happens, but it's interesting. I had asked what's the deal with, for example, NAFTA. How is NAFTA perceived down here?
Right.
And the perception was that it's great. We're part of North America and the United States and Canada. And I said, well, what about all the toxic waste producing facilities that are all along the border,
right.
Just south of the United States, where all our dirty industries are going. And the person I spoke with said that in the years that he had been here, he had never seen any discussion of that in the press whatsoever, and figured that the average person was just completely unaware of anything like that going on. So,
is it just a lack of press coverage?
Say that again?
Is it just a lack of press coverage, or do people just not care? They're just so happy to have a job that pays more than 5 cents an hour.
I've lost you. It's very faint here. Do we have a bad phone line?
Oh, okay. Well, I hear you fine. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now I can hear you fine. Yeah, I'll keep talking then.
Okay.
Here in the this I thought was really interesting, that the Guadalajara Reporter, which is the newspaper from Guadalajara, you turn to the second page and it's their viewpoint column. In other words, this is the editorial in the Guadalajara Reporter, and
right.
it runs a ways down the page, but a bit of it because this is what I'm hearing from a few people who are, well, whatever. July 4th and Trimming Civil Liberties is the headline. And it says, for some of America's friends and for many Americans, July 4th is being celebrated with a divided heart. Clearly, more than a few U.S. citizens believe that a majority of those whom we honor this week, the Founding Fathers as their peers called them, would be vexed by the post-9/11 reshaping of U.S. civil liberties. These are not just folks called liberals or those long resident in ranks of the political left. One hears of more and more people who voted for George W. Bush who are now planning to leave the United States for Mexico because of trimmed back civil liberties at home. A Virginia woman recently said she refused to rear her two daughters, 12 and 13, in, quote, a country turning fascistic, end quote. She and her police husband are moving to Nueva School, I don't know how to pronounce it. A number of Republican politicians have opposed new incursions on civil rights. These call for secret search warrants, ordering government agents to enter homes to collect personal information, forcing suspects to prove their innocence rather than obliging the prosecution to prove guilt, expanding government wiretapping authority, permitting government agents to review records of libraries, bookstores, internet service providers, and places of worship in order to gather information about suspects and non-suspects. Republican lawmakers questioning government incursion on civil liberty. Keep in mind, this is the editorial in the Guadalajara newspaper. On civil liberties include Representatives James Sensenbrenner of Wisconsin, Stephen Cabot of Ohio, Chuck Grassley of Iowa, as well as Republican Chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska, among others. It's interesting.
Wow.
I've never heard any of these people be quoted about this stuff in the American press, but here in the Mexican press, politicians that most disturb many voters include President George W. Bush and Attorney General John Ashcroft. One man who moved to Mexico with his wife comes from a small community south of Dallas where he has been a bank loan officer for 20 years. Bush, he says, quote, made us go to war in Iraq to find weapons that weren't there and our soldiers died for nothing, end quote. He objects to new restraints on civil liberties and fears Bush will start another war. The editorial goes on to say such people oppose officials who order suspected alien terrorists stripped of even the limited rights of a court-martial-type trial. They reject allowing courts to conceal evidence by citing national security, making up their own rules, finding a defendant guilty even when a third of its officers disagree, and executing the civilian court review.
Hmm.
Talk about how Sam and John Adams and James Otis and Thomas Jefferson would be horrified. So I thought that was quite interesting.
I find that incredibly interesting. I guess I also, they were talking about where there was some legislation being proposed in the U.S. federal government that they wanted to put pressure on Mexico to denationalize their oil industry. Is there any talk of the bullying United States down there, or do they view us as a benefactor?
Your voice is breaking up on this end, Ram. I'm only hearing about every other word. I don't know if maybe Shar can pot you up a little for me or something, but
okay. Well, how about the oil industry? They're a nationalized oil industry. U.S. is putting pressure on there to privatize it. Any comments on that from the Mexicans?
No, but I'll start asking around. I'm just here on the show today for this 20 minutes here in the first part of the last hour, and I'll drop in tomorrow for the same thing, and I'll report back. There was here yesterday and the day before, not allowed to sell or serve alcohol because there were elections, and it looks like the PAN party, the President Vicente Fox's party, they have actually lost some ground. But the big news with the elections is that, according to the fellow I spoke with this morning, I haven't seen this in the newspaper yet, 59% of eligible voters did not even bother to go vote. And he said he thought that this was because 9 years ago this year was when one-party rule essentially ended in Mexico, and everybody expected instant democracy. And it hasn't been instant democracy. It's the slow, democratic process. They went from having a very, very strong executive, a very strong president, and a very weak legislature to now something that's similar to how the United States at least is supposed to be, where most of the actual power is concentrated in the legislative body that's directly responsive to the people. And the president, is more of a head of state. And so it's the consensus of the people I've talked with here is that this movement from the pre-party to the PAN party has been something good for democracy, but it's not a lot of the people they're not seeing the kind of rapid progress that they wanted or that they expected. They expected that suddenly overnight Mexico would become like the United States, and it hasn't happened.
And just as a real short history here, PRI and PAN, those are acronyms for the parties, and PAN was kind of the semi-outlawed party up until not too long ago. PRI was the big ruling party. So when PAN came into power, they expected some difference because they had run on saying we were going to change things, right?
Yeah, I'm not hearing you. I'm sorry. Try that again.
So how's the weather?
Okay, the weather is wonderful. It's just absolutely beautiful down here, and we're having a great time. It's an amazing milestone in your life to have your first child get married. We've been waiting a long time for it, and
now is that the one I met?
I don't think you've met her. No, our youngest is the one who lived with us in Vermont up until recently. She lives in Oregon now. Kareth, who is here for her sister's wedding, but the oldest lives down in Atlanta, and both her and her now her husband.
So what do you guys have in mind to do on a personal level there? You don't have to get too personal, but are you going to go visit the beach or go somewhere?
Well, we're staying here at the Marriott, which is right on the beach, and so we've just been basically sitting underneath. I spent most of the day yesterday sitting under a palm tree, and then went to the wedding last night. So, I've got some meetings with some politicians today. I want to learn some more stuff. Hopefully, I'll be able to give you some, intelligent information for the program tomorrow, and I'll have some stories for when I come back. I'm trying to learn more about the politics down here. I came down very ignorant of it, and I'm finding it fascinating.
Yeah.
But basically, we're also having a bit of a vacation. It's really nice.
That's great. Well, you guys work hard, and you deserve it. You stayed out of Juarez, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, although Mr. Montezuma has visited me, but that's a whole other topic.
Well, thank you. There's certain things I guess we don't really want to discuss.
Yeah.
Anything you want to leave people with? We're coming up on the break here pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you again, Rama, for filling in for me. I mean, I used to listen to you on the radio there in Vermont for years, and I've been on your show a couple of times years ago when my books have come out, and I'm so grateful that you're available. You're a great talk show host. You're doing a wonderful job. And I really appreciate it, and I want to say hi to our regular listeners and let them know that we'll be back on the air live on Thursday.
And do me a favor. You tell them Tom Hartman said put Rama back in the chat room.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Glow Kiwi is going to have to figure out how to do that, but I think they can figure it out.
Yeah, I can wait
not,
tomorrow. All
that,
right, so. You guys have a great time, Tom. We got to get out of here. We're coming up on a break, and you're listening to Tom Hartman Show. We will be right back.
Mom. Dad, someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tuck, you got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Hi, Tom Baudet from Motel 6. Some websites use outrageous gimmicks to attract visitors, like click here and get three wishes. But at Motel6.com, they have Click 6 web bargains that save you even more off the lowest price of any national chain. And you can only get them when you book online. Sorry, no three wishes, but you will have more money. That's usually wish number one anyway. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. And Accor Hotel.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express lawsuit funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do? Being on the tractor as much time as I do or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature. And you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
More united we stand, divided we fall.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. This is the Tom Hartman Show. I am Rama Schneider, filling in for Mr. Hartman today and tomorrow, unless they really kind of get sick of me and just tell me, you know, stay away, Rama. We don't need you here anymore. Our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost. That's a quote attributed to Thomas Jefferson in a letter to James Curie. And no, that's a different Curie from the Madame Curie, who actually the Curie's named after. And, well, let's get on to the, we do have somebody who wants to talk a little bit about Mexican politics. Tim in Hartford, Connecticut, welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
First, I'm doing great. How are you?
Pretty good. I enjoy, you know, any discussion of housing, which I think is an absolutely critical issue, and prison reform in general are such important topic matters that I rarely hear discussed on talk radio, and especially conservative talk radio. So I appreciate that. I wanted to talk a little bit about Mexican politics, and perhaps we can learn a little bit from the situation down there. There was essentially, you know, one-party rule for a long, long time. And it was very interesting because some of the breaks that happened in the last election when Valencia Fox came along was that, you know, he was a Coca-Cola salesman, and he made a deal with, of all people, the Green Party to get there. But because the Green Party...
That's the Mexican Green Party.
Yeah, the Mexican Green Party. They have some people in their Congress and a couple of governors that are Greens there. And then from what I understand, that once he... you know, took office, he essentially reneged on the deal and essentially said they're not part of the governing coalition down there. So I'm just kind of curious what kind of real support he has across the board, because the Greens said, well, let's team up with this businessman to try and break this long, long time one-party monopoly.
Well,
and
when
they did it, you know, they got essentially screwed.
Right. I see kind of a problem in the sense that for so many years, like you were saying, it was one-party rule. I mean, there really was no political. There was pre, and then there was the people who were trying to unseat pre. And over the decades and decades and decades, you had so much pent-up expectations that as soon as they got somebody, you know, as soon as they got somebody into office, people looked and said, well, change everything all at one time. And I think that's a little difficult for anybody to do. But then again, I also think that Vicente Fox, very typically, he got assimilated by big business, big government, et cetera, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I think people, to a certain degree, kind of expected, okay, he'll bring in more big business, and that'll be good in general for the overall Mexican economy. But, of course, the other underlying problem was the absolute corruption involved with that one-party system, including drugs and everything else that have been, you know, highly, highly alleged all across there. So when you've got a beat-down kind of system, which I think we're experiencing here in the United States, you see the voter turnout become less and less. I mean, we've got this great democracy here in this country, and so many people are just fed up with the entire system. You know, it doesn't matter Republican, Democrat, anybody else. No. They're just saying the entire system is corrupt. So why should I vote when you got, you know, what, about 50% of the people voting in the United States?
The hardest thing, and I've run for local office on a number of occasions, and I don't consider myself too electable because I give everybody something to dislike. I go about campaigning in a very horrible manner. But one thing I've discovered, people really don't want to change. They, you go up and you ask them, well, do you want it differently? They say, yeah, yeah, yeah. They say, well, vote for somebody different. They go, no, 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 no. So, you know, it's kind of like this, they feel like they can only trust the establishment, but they expect the establishment to do things 180 degrees different from what they were doing.
Well, or if they do see the change agent out there, whether it's a Kucinich, Nader, or anybody else, but, oh, that person isn't electable, so why should I... you know, put my effort behind that person. And that's the real problem, because change comes slowly, but it does occur.
Okay, I appreciate your call, Tim. We got to get out of here. We're coming up on top of another break, and we still have a whole half hour of some fun, and we're going to do something really exciting in this next half hour. So, hey, you folks stay right there with bated breath, the Tom Hartman Show.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. The Department of Energy plans to build a new facility for the production of plutonium cores for nuclear weapons. But critics charge that the weapons of mass destruction would pose a threat not only to those countries that U.S. missiles are aimed at, but also to the workers who would build the nuclear bombs.
Workers during the Cold War are getting cancers in the 80s and 90s and still dying from cancer.
Dr. Arjun Makajani is president of the Institute for Energy and Environmental Research. He points to a figure in the facility's draft environmental impact statement, which states there would be 0.22 cancer fatalities per year at peak levels of production.
0.22 cancer fatalities per year means one every 4.5 years. It doesn't mean that after 4.5 years somebody will die. It means that there will have been enough radiation doses that over a long period of time, you know, with cancer latency periods, that the cancer may not develop for 10 or 20 years.
Dr. Makajani says those figures mean 9 workers would die of radiation-induced cancer over the projected 40-year operation of the plant. The Department of Energy will be accepting public comment on the proposal through August 5th.
Thousands of South African asbestos miners, many of whom are now dying because of their exposure in the workplace, were supposed to share in a $35 million settlement from 2 mining companies who didn't provide the workers with proper breathing protection equipment. But now the largest of the 2 asbestos companies is threatening bankruptcy and says it can't pay. In response, a judge has reduced the settlement award by 2/3, meaning that each sick miner will get about $1,600 instead of the $4,600 they'd been promised. More than 700 of them have died since the case began 4 years ago. The next of kin will get those payments instead.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
All right, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Show. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom, playing my air guitar. Gosh, you don't have to turn that down so quick. Oh, that sounded good. Yeah, a little taking care of business. Takes me back a long ways. I mean, when did that song, that was like early 70s, right? Around 70, 71, 72, 70 in that area. Hey, guess what? You guys, you guys and gals, okay, you folks, let's have a little fun between now and the next break here. We got some time. No real topic. I got some stuff here. I got a whole stack of things here to really kind of go through if folks are interested. But this is what they call open microphone. If you call in, if you got something you want to talk about from your particular part of the country, feel free. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. I want to give you a warning, though. And I'm not going to tell you what. Look, I'm the boss. This is not democracy on radio, okay? If you call in and you're getting too long-winded, or you tick me off, I'm going to hang up on you, okay? Other than that, as long as, you know, we call up and you basically bring up your own subject, and that'll be fine. And in the meantime, oh, thank God for New Zealand. The U.S. Embassy, folks, in New Zealand has lodged a complaint with a brothel. That's right, your old house of ill repute, with a brothel that calls itself the White House. Well, what's so wrong about that? Okay. After brothels were legalized in New Zealand this month, the White House in Auckland, which previously described itself as a massage parlor, advertised for prostitutes in a newspaper advertisement last week. I mean, that's okay. It seems like, you know, go down to Washington, they, you know, that White House, they look for, well, they just look for anything that'll crawl out of the gutter, right? These people were looking for prostitutes. I mean, what's the difference? Lobbyist, prostitute, I don't know. Anyway, the ad, which said the brothel was looking for more ladies to join the day and night shifts, appeared with a logo almost identical to the U.S. presidential seal, showing an American bald eagle with a ribbon in its mouth. And by the way, that's bald, B-A-L-D. Anyway, with a ribbon in its mouth, holding the arrows of war and an olive branch. We believe that any likeness of national government symbol in a commercial advertisement is in extremely poor taste. Embassy spokeswoman, well, that's a funny spokeswoman voice, but okay, that's all I had on hand at the moment. Janine Burns told the Sunday Star Times. We are sending a letter to the advertiser that expresses our disappointment and displeasure for their choice of symbolism, she said. Now, you know, I'm reading this and a whole host of questions come up. Let me just finish the last. This is a short article. The White House general manager, that's the one in New Zealand, that White House, Scott McGregor, told the paper the establishment had used the logo for almost 2 years, adding, quote, it's a universally recognized symbol. I don't think they've got exclusive rights to it. Now, first, of course, there's the obvious. I mean, a White House being a brothel is nothing new to New Zealand. I mean, heck, we've known they've been doing this down in Washington, D.C. for how many centuries now? I mean, it's been well sold out. And, you know, okay, in New Zealand, they hire people to massage you in one way, and up here in Washington, D.C., they go out and hire people they call lobbyists to massage you in another. In one way, you have to pay them money, and that's the New Zealand fashion. And here in the United States, we have to go and, the brothel people pay the government money. They pay money to the White House. So I think first that there's the obvious comparisons there, and everybody actually, if you go to www.smh.com.au and go to their articles, you'll find it. It's U.S. complaints about brothel called the White House, and actually, everybody ought to download this. You blank out the bit about U.S. complaints about and just leave brothel called the White House and just basically email it to everybody you know. And they'll all go, yeah. But you know what else? Reading this, I mean, yes, there's the obvious that the White House is basically a brothel, whether in name or in practice or however you want to look at it. But we have a spokesman for the United States government trying to claim that any likeness of a national government symbol in a commercial advertisement is in extremely poor taste. All right, now what I want you folks to do, I want you to pay attention around yourself for the next 2 days, and I want you to count how many businesses have the red, white, and blue. How many businesses use the flag to show their patriotism or to show their feelings. And I'm not making fun of these feelings now. I understand that people, they're, you know, a good number of people, and I'll admit it's probably a majority, hold the flag in reverence. But how many businesses in the United States use the flag as a way to further their commercial, how people view them, right? So I'm reading this, and I'm just thinking that, you know, it's no wonder that in order to find out what our politicians in Washington are thinking, Tom had to go all the way to Mexico and read a paper in Mexico to find out what our politicians are really thinking. You know, it just really, really seems not strange. And, you know, I'll tell you the truth. I found out on the Gulf War. The papers that were the most informative about what was actually going on in Gulf War No. 2 were the British papers. In the U.S., my God, I don't know if anybody turned on the cable news networks, and I'm not talking about CNN alone, I'm talking about all those. Absolutely. I got to tell you, I consider them about the news-wise. I mean, they're good for entertainment, but for news, value is absolutely zero. And if you read any of the papers, if you read any of the papers in the U.S., I mean, their value, the news, they didn't cover any facts of who was dying, what kind of weapons were being used, where the troops were, what kind of horrors of war were happening, you know, why were we even doing this? Where were the weapons of mass destruction? You notice how long it's taken them to ask that question? I mean, it's just an incredible just lack of coverage. But it's because, face it, we have our own White House brothel here in the United States of America, and it's been open for business. A lot of people have been heading on up to, well, take advantage of the fact it's open for business. So anyway, you want to take part in the radio program here? All you got to do is pick up your telephone, dial 1-800-TALK-YES. That would be 1-800-825-5937. And let's head to the phone. And Jim from Indiana. Hello, Jim.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Very good. I'd like to rant about a few things here, if you'd give me a little time.
Okay, I'll give you 30 seconds to rant, and then I get to interrupt.
Okay. My wife and I are just raging liberals, and I'm a truck driver, and
right.
I heard you had on your first segment, you had a lady who was talking about housing.
Right.
And I just read a good book by Barbara Ehrenreich, Nickel and Dimed, that sheds a lot of light on the homeless and the home problem and the income problem in this country. And
right.
I'm all over the country. I mean, I'm everywhere. And I see this all the time, you know, rooms on daily rent for, you know, $25 a day. Well, you take that out over a year and divide it by the month. I mean, you know, you could buy a home.
Yep.
You know, that's one problem I've got. Anyway, we were talking a moment ago, and we were talking about Rush Limbaugh today. And my wife listens to Rush every day. And she says that she has to know what the enemy is up to. Well, anyway, Rush is beating MoveOn.org. He is beating them up today, big time, beating up Howard Dean. And anyway, my wife asked me, by the way, have you heard whatever happened to Paul Wellstone's plane and the investigation on why that went down? And I said, no, I haven't heard, and we keep up with the news pretty much. And
right.
So that's kind of my question to you. Have you heard the final result of the investigation of why his plane went down?
The last I heard, they were still saying that ice built up on the wings. That's the last, but the investigation was still incomplete, and I have not heard zit of it yet.
Huh. Okay. Just curious. I just thought I'd call. I appreciate it. And
all right. Well, thank you very much,
job.
Jim. And you drive safely on the highway.
Okay.
And I appreciate the call.
Okay.
And
thanks.
Yes, sir. And let's head over to Tony from Washington, D.C. Hello, Tony.
How you doing? You're doing a great job, substitute. Can you give me your opinion? Let's take it off the air because I know you have plenty of people who wants to call on this about 17 minutes. Nader said that he's going to send out a questionnaire to both parties to see how close he comes to the so-called, I guess, green agenda. And
right.
What do you think that agenda, I mean, we'll be basing on what that agenda would do, but what do you think Nader is up to this time around? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, and I appreciate it. I mean, if you're looking for my opinion, running as a person who has more than once run as a third-party candidate, I'm going to give Mr. Nader the benefit of all the doubts and say he's an honest politician. Now, I know right now there's a lot of Democrats that are standing up, hissing and booing, going, the creep cost the election. Maybe, maybe not. And you may be right on that. I don't think so. But the numbers are there to show that he did. I think he's honestly trying to influence things, and I think his pigheadedness and his stubbornness has actually influenced things to the benefit of the general progressive movement. I honestly believe that. Yes, look, it stinks to lose. It really does. And it stinks even worse when you end up with this reactionary government that we have right now in D.C. But what is even worse is to let the reactionary government creep in so that they're still there 20 years from now. And as an example of what I'm saying here, I want to go back to, let me see, Clinton got elected in 92. When was it? The 94 elections? Was it the 94? It was the 96 elections, the Gingrich Revolution, so-called. And all of these real right-wing Republican representatives, they just totally swamped the House of Representatives. And they went down there and they tried to carry through this real reactionary right wing, let's totally dismantle government, let's throw it out the back door. And what happened was most of the United States public looked and said, well, okay, I don't mind some overbearing government, but I want some government there. In other words, these people lost their political clout. That's why now they're doing things like they're trying to pretend to be environmentalists. They're trying to pretend to be in favor of making good changes to Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, et cetera. Now, I happen to disagree with their ideas, but you see a lot of that is that the people woke up. They got hit by a sledgehammer and said, "That I know I voted for that, but that's not what I wanted." What I found was interesting, too, in some of the comments Tom was making from the people he had talked to in newspapers and the stuff that he had read down in Mexico, that people were talking about who had voted for Bush were talking about leaving the United States. I happen to know, and I'm not going to describe the relationship because it would describe the person, but I happen to know this older gentleman, a Korean War era veteran, and he's been talking about moving to Canada. I mean, this is a very conservative gentleman, and the reason why he was talking about going to Canada is because of what Bush and company, the President Bush and company, are doing to the United States right now. This is not, you know, people are looking around saying, yeah, I voted for this guy, but this is not what I voted for him for. And people wake up and they recognize this. So I'm saying this to say, don't be afraid of losing, because sometimes you lose the little battle in order to win the war. What's going to happen, and I firmly believe this, and the Dean campaign is just emblematic of it all, what's going to happen is a comeback to that middle of the road where we are, the people that care about our source of food, water, air, and shelter, otherwise known as the physical environment. The people that care about fair and honest treatment of folks and not just locking everybody up in jail. And unfortunately, we got a long ways to go on that one. But the people that care about having fair wages. We even have a Republican governor here in Vermont who one of the first things that he proposed was an increase in the minimum wage law. Yeah, that was to help grease the skids so he could pass these other business encouragement laws, but it's still, that came from a Republican governor. And he's not the most liberal person in the world. I know, I've talked to the guy, and I like him. It's Governor Douglas. I'd invite him over for dinner, you know? I mean, he's just a genuinely nice guy. But we're seeing that political scale, and we're seeing the people get up and say, no, we believe in middle America. We believe in the public school systems. We believe in jobs programs, especially when they can be put to good use, like helping the nation's highway infrastructure. We believe in having cars that will get better gas mileage. This is all part of that raging, rabid, radical middle that Tom's always talking about. Now, it's easy to miss just how raging and radical it is when you put it in such calm tones, but it's there, and I see it, and I hear it on a daily basis from some of the strangest sources. So I wouldn't worry about what Ralph Nader is doing. You know, what I would worry about is what you want to do and where you as an individual want things to go. Go out and seek the politician that you think is going to work the most benefit for you and support him. And don't worry about this winner-loser bit. because that is probably in the long, in the short run it counts. In the long run, it really doesn't matter. You know, I know when I sit down and I look at the decisions that I'm making politically, I not only think about myself and my wife and my mother, I have a daughter I think about. My wife's daughter from a previous marriage just had a baby, and I wonder about those things. So when I look to make decisions, I look to make decisions far down the road. And sometimes we have to sit there and a little bit of a strategic retreat doesn't hurt things. A strategic retreat often gets time for people to do weird things so we can come out with a big gangbuster victory. Okay, there's still more coming up for the top of the hour. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Show.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts. Because Napa Premium Motor Oil is just 99 cents a quart, and Valvoline Max Life Oil for high mileage engines is just $1.99 a quart. This is the good stuff. Changing your oil every 3,000 miles is one of the best things you can do for your car. So stock up on Napa Premium Motor Oil for 99 cents a quart, and Valvoline Max Life Oil for just $1.99 a quart. Local prices may vary.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now. Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay,
if they flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Molloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Molloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Molloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
All right, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Show. I'm Rama Schneider, standing in. Well, no, I'm sitting in for the ever effervescent Mr. Hartman. And by the way, I just want to say, I put in a plug for the guy. If you've never read any of his books, he is a gifted author. So pick one and read it. And that's how I originally met him, was doing a book interview with him on a radio show I used to host here in central Vermont. You know, somebody put on the message board just a while ago that there's no need to run. They can't take your country. They shouldn't be taking your flag away from you. And I agree with that. And people are going to have all sorts of different answers to the to what our current situation is. I know I'm of the type, the harder you push me, the more dug in I get. You know, and I grew up in a large, boisterous family. And when we argued, and it wasn't always fisticuffs, but there was lots of loud yelling, hooting, and hollering going on. And in our family, in order to have any chance of winning, you had to be loud. You had to be factually correct, sure. You had to be able to put your thoughts to words, absolutely. But you had to be loud. This is what's going on now. Don't be afraid of being loud. You know, get out there. Talk to your neighbors, your family, your friends, your coworkers, acquaintance. You know, pick people at random in the phone book and call them in another state and talk to them about what's going on. It doesn't matter, but stay loud. That's the big thing. My catchphrase for it lately has become stay loud and stay proud. Because face it, we're part of the radical middle. We're progressives. We believe in the things that the United States and the people of the United States not only agree with, but they also believe it and they'll help push for. They just need to have some guidance. And they need positive solutions, not all of it. We got somebody on the line. I'm not going to be able to take any callers. We're coming too close to the top of the hour here. So, John from Long Beach, I want to thank you very much for calling in, but we're not going to be able to take you before the show's over. Because I just want to leave everybody with this one thought. Because this is a little thing you can do. Take 5 or 10 or 50, if you can afford it, 100, 200 bucks, and give it to the Shriners. And here's why. The Shriners are a great organization, folks. Shriners Hospitals for Children, an organization where the practice of medicine has long been unfazed by finances, is struggling with a money crunch and may close some of its hospitals. The Shriners organization, these people don't accept any government money. They go out, they get all of their donations from you and me and folks like us, and they run these fantastic hospitals where they just take any and all kids for absolutely free. And no, I'm not running an ad for them here. I'm really not. I just have a ton of respect for the organization. So if you want to do one little thing that doesn't involve voting, take 10 or 20, like I say, what can you afford, 100, 1,000? And send it to the Shriners. Tom Hartman Show. I've had fun. See you tomorrow. Bye.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda, I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America.